next hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
U.S. wins 2-1 in dramatic fashion.
Why are we so down with this game?
Team USA with the win. America beat Ghana last night in their first World Cup game.
Do we know where Ghana is?
Fighting for Idaho.
USA now plays Portugal on June 22nd.
I'd rather see a quarterback throw a touchdown or a NASCAR guy taking a bunch of left turns.
Fighting for you.
Hey, you remember this from the last World Cup? Was that the Vavazuzu or whatever? Remember that? Remember we used to play that all the time? Like incessantly? You can relieve yourself of the guilt of not liking soccer right here.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, today is probably not the day to play soccer. Is that what you do? Do you play soccer? Do you compete in soccer? And look, let me clarify my comments. By the way, good morning, Kay Millie with you. Kevin Miller of the Morning, 580 KIDO, the unvarnished truth, if you will. And I know what you're saying, I need some sanding there. I need some varnish with this character. I don't want my comments to be misinterpreted. You know, we have respect for the sport of soccer. I think that it's wonderful that the children play it. I think high school athletes that play soccer, collegiate American athletes that play soccer is great. And apparently I might be on the wrong side of history again. Where's that letter from Jabroni that we did Kevin Miller's hate mail yesterday? Jeff Thomas. Jeff Thomas may be right. I might be wrong about this one again, since I'm wrong about everything else. 16 million people are watching the World Cup. Could be a tipping point, but didn't we hear that back in 1992? Oh, yes, the women winning. Woo, there's Brandi Chastain taking off her shirt. Oh, wait, it's a sports bra, and not just any sports bra. It's a sports bra brought to you by Nike. Women's soccer was going to be big. Remember that one? Then we had the Women's Professional League, Brandi Chastain and others. How'd that one end up? Not too well, but I do respect the sport. I just think it's, well, let me put it to you this way. The people getting behind the World Cup talk about, well, I'm like our friend Phil Hardy responded to me on Facebook, I support my country. I think being about the World Cup is the equivalent of liking the United Nations as opposed to the United States. And I know what you're going to say, Kevin, it's an international world. Look at that McDonald's commercial where you have the kid being ashamed to cheer for America because his dad's cheering for a Central American country. I don't know. I found that pretty offensive myself. But maybe it's time to have the first annual Kevin Miller World Cup / Soccer Invitational. And maybe we get some children's, maybe we get some not-so-children's, and we do some type of learning educating me about the World Cup. Otherwise, I think it's globalist propaganda. Sorry. Just my thoughts. I mean, can you name a position? I can name a point guard. I can name a quarterback. I really can't name so much what's a striker or a fullback or a midfielder or a goalie. Really? Maybe Jeff Manasso can help us from Fox News Radio. Jeff, good morning.
I was a fullback. All-star fullback at that.
In soccer.
In soccer, yeah, because nobody get past me. I was so big.
How did we book you? It's supposed to be agreement radio where we just agree with the host. So what do you make of the World Cup?
You know what? I haven't been paying too much attention to it. It's been pretty exciting what I have seen. I think that it seems like there's a lot of a lot more interest in soccer in terms of on the American side. It's not as popular, in my opinion, from what I've seen in years past. But this year it seems to be pretty popular. A lot of people are into it. I think that's a really cool thing. I love soccer.
It is, but on the other hand, if Brandi Chastain taking off her shirt didn't do it, I don't know what will.
Yeah.
You know, that we talk about a lot of interesting things. Thankfully, you're here to save us from ourselves, or from me, at 580KIDO. So Hillary Clinton talks to Fox News last night, and now she's talking to everybody. What's the initial reaction from New York, Washington, and America itself?
Well, I don't know what the reaction is across the country. I can just tell you that it was a good get for us. She's trying to sell a book. That's the reason why she agreed to come on to Fox News. and talk to us. And also, you know, it's presumed that she's going to be running for president, a 2016 presidential contender. Obviously, she's going to want to get Fox News and Benghazi and some other scandals or touchy subjects out of the way before that run, so she can say, "Look, I've addressed that. We've already talked about it. I'm moving forward, and I'm going to talk about things that matter to the American people, like the economy." And you know how politicians do it. So, if she is in fact running, some contend she's not. Some contend, oh, there's no doubt she's running. It was a smart move. What did we learn? Well, I think that Brett Barron and Greta Van Susteren did a good job of first of all being fair in their questioning and trying to flesh out the timeline with Benghazi in regards to, look, what did you know and when did you know it and who did you talk to, and the national security folks, the CIA, where was the president? Because you know, 14 days after the attack, you and the president were still coming out blaming this attack on some sort of YouTube video, which totally was not the case. The CIA even early on said, look, this was pre-planned terror, and we knew that from early on. So try to pin her down on that. She was standing by her testimony before on the congressional hearing where she famously last year said, what difference does it make? But she addressed her 2008 run as well and said, look, it was really tiring. It's brutal. And one of the takeaways that I got, Kevin, was when she said, quote, getting through that gauntlet to be one of the nominees to run for president requires a lot of stamina, unquote. To me, I don't know, I always think rhetorically, I think, okay, she's telling us she's strong, she's ready to go for 2016, as some of us think she is. She addressed Bo Bergdahl, kind of pinning that on the White House, saying, look, that swap, you know, apparently the White House and our intelligence community had a reason to believe that he was, you know, his health was in peril, and he needed to be moved. It was one of the only chances we could have gotten him. She said she hasn't seen that evidence, so she wouldn't be able to weigh in on that. She weighed in on Iraq, calling the disaster that we're seeing unfold there basically a problem created because of poor leadership in part from Prime Minister Maliki, saying, look, that country needs some new leadership if they're going to get past this. If they get past this, it's a pretty dire situation there.
580 KIDO, our friend Jeff Manasa with us. Quickly, do you think, and this is kind of a goofy one, you know, it was kind of unfair to the former First Lady, former Senator, former Secretary of State. I mean, you had Brett and Greta on her. It's like a tag team. It was a handicap match.
Oh, no. I think that Brett and Greta did an amazing job. And I think that, you know, there were no gotcha questions. A lot of times you get that in these types of interviews. I thought that they handled themselves really well. And, I'm not sure what kind of news is going to come out of this. There might be, you know, a few discrepancies between what Mrs. Clinton has said regarding Benghazi and the timeline as opposed to what she testified on Capitol Hill. I'm not sure that it's got I'm not sure that it's got a lot of legs, because, you know, she's such a professional politician. She's so good at what she does. And by the way, she handled herself really well, I thought. She looked a little nervous at first, but ended up coming out real strong. And but that's a testament to being very prepared for, you know, gotcha type questions, which they didn't pose, which I thought was a testament to how professional our folks at Fox News are.
Well, there are no Jeff Manassos, that's for sure.
Well, that's true.
Jeff, you take care. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right, our friend Jeff Manasa with us. By the way, disclosing that he was a soccer fullback. And, you know, we're always very cognizant of expanding this audience, and it's kind of tough to do sometimes when you're a polarizing figure or the parody of a polarizing figure, which I think that's what I've become here at 580 KIDO on this rainy day in the Treasure Valley. So I was thinking to myself as we were having our mastermind meeting yesterday with Dave Burnett and Ray Amaya, and I actually was shocked that we had a phone call yesterday from someone who called in to talk to Ray. And as you know, if you ever call on the show, Ray is very diplomatic, very professional with people. And Ray relayed a comment by a listener, our one listener that's not Patriot Ray or Tea Party Bob or Jim from Star or Tom Munns. And we had a gentleman that was very angry with me over my comments about soccer or the World Cup. And he said, Ray, does Kevin Miller really believe what he's talking about the World Cup? And Ray said, well, he is speaking about it, sir. Well, is he just trying to make a joke? I'm mad. I'm done with him. I'm going to taxpayer-funded radio. And I thought to myself, well, we can't lose a listener. There must be a better way to express ourselves. There must be a better way to bring in the Big Ten, unlike currently the national and local Republican Party. We want to bring in everybody. In fact, I was also thinking, Ray, this would have actually been interesting. You know, we probably could have gotten Matt Erpelding to do commentary on the Republican Party. I'm sure Representative Erpelding would have given us his exclusive analysis. You never notice when it's always great when the Democrats will tell the Republicans what to do. You know, it's kind of like your direct competitor saying, well, you really need to focus on this to improve the bottom line. If you're competing with someone, why in the world would you ever, ever tell them how to get better? But I think that we probably need to bring Representative Erpelding out of retirement to get his thoughts on it. But I digress. So I was thinking to myself, self, what can we do? And maybe we should have some brave diplomats that listen to this program, tell us the benefits of the World Cup. Or better yet, I don't know if we could do anything with a video or not. But I guess 16 million people out of 300 million that are here legally aren't wrong. But, you know, my brother played soccer. His friends are smacking me on social media because I do believe that this World Cup is global indoctrination. We have World Cup audience in the U.S. is growing. Monday's match against Ghana produced records for ESPN and Univision. And to me, when you embrace the World Cup, you're pretty much embracing the United Nations. I mean, that's what it is. And it really, it's a global plot hatched by, and I know what you're saying, Kevin, are you becoming the sports Alex Jones? Well, let me tell you something for entertainment purposes only, folks. Infowars.com, but this is what's happening. You have the global media conglomerates ruled by the Bilderbergers who have said we must get rid of what is good and right in this country, and that is football, basketball, baseball, and NASCAR, and hockey if you discount the Canadians. So what did they do? They came up with a strategy to, in fact, embrace soccer. Look at the sports networks. I mean, here we are talking about what's going on in Arkansas or Boise, Idaho or Seattle, and then they give us a score of Manchester United and Liverpool. Do you really want to know that? I know my Alex Jones kind of sounds like Sam Kinison, but I digress. However, think about that for a minute. What's that? Back to Alex Jones. Think about it for a minute, people. For years, all of a sudden, we've got the, hey, from the Sydney League, from this league, from that league, and all of a sudden, now we've embraced the World Cup. Well, tell me, can you name any other teams besides the U.S. and Ghana, and besides Italy, Portugal, Germany, and England, and Spain, and others? That's what it's all about. And what happens next? What's great about soccer? Well, then you have, you know, instead of cheering for teams from this country, you cheer for Infowars.com. Make sure you get your water purifier. It's on sale now. Buy two, get one free. What do you do? Well, then you, how should I put this? Then you're more kind about having people in from other places. You're less tolerant of people that don't respect the Constitution, and our sovereignty goes out the window, and it's all because of World Cup soccer!
I apologize for the tune-out factor if you didn't find that entertaining, but those are my thoughts. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Getting back to the page here in the Wall Street Journal, Americans are increasingly developing a taste for the beautiful game, at least when the Americans are playing. I'm not down with that, but to me, oh, by the way, here's another comment that I have on my Facebook page. Quote, I don't watch soccer. If I wanted to watch somebody struggle to score for 90 minutes, I'd take my friends out to the bar. Your thoughts? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
This city has been nothing but American soccer fans.
Our unique connection to the U.S. men's soccer players stems from the team's composition. The roster is a reflection of America itself. It's diversity, but yet it's unity.
Dempsey cutting inside the box. Dempsey's in! Dempsey out the post and in! The U.S. has scored!
Another reason I love soccer, you don't have all those advertisements interrupting the game. It's a free-flowing athletic contest.
U.S. wins 2-1 in dramatic fashion.
And when this thing is all over on July 13th, whoever wins will be a true world champion.
.726, Kevin Miller, holding the mantle of all that is good and right in America, wondering what the appeal is of the World Cup. Well, Kevin, you're just an antiquated 40-something-year-old white guy, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's the progressive folks. But really, if it's about tolerance and diversity, shouldn't we respect our opinions if we're not down with the World Cup Kool-Aid? Linda in Emmett at 580KIDO. Hello, Linda.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Oh, always better when I'm talking to you, sweetie.
Oh,
thank you
for the wonderful compliment.
Just don't tell my wife.
No, I won't. Okay. I promise. I'm calling about this business with the World Cup or soccer, you know, however you put it. To me, and I'm glad it's in South America, not here. That's one of the biggest jokes in the world. It's like you go to a fight. You know, you go to a hockey game and a fight broke loose. And it's the same thing. You go to a soccer game and they need all the riot people in riot gear to keep everybody safe so that nobody gets hurt, nobody gets shot, nobody gets killed. I think it's stupid.
A lot of hooligans in soccer.
Very many hooligans.
Linda, thank you.
You're welcome, dear. You take care.
All right, baby. I'll see you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tom Munns, TomMunns.com at 580KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Tom. I understand you went to the GOP convention and a soccer match broke out.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know so much about the actual soccer match that everybody would actually believe from what you're talking about this morning, but a soccer match of sorts did actually break out, yes. And so...
Now, it's interesting because I read on your Facebook comments, and I wanted you to share the story of your encounter with Brad Little to us at 580KIDO, those that aren't down with Tom Munns, Tom Munns, Tom Munns.
Only if I get to share the one with the Attorney General, too.
Well, if it's self-serving for both of us, sure.
Well, I don't know about the whole... I had a chance to meet him. I met his beautiful bride, and it was a pleasure meeting him. And I went up to introduce myself because I wasn't sure if he'd remember who I was. And he said, oh, yes, TomMunns.com, Tom Munns Facebook, Munns Tom Twitter. So... anyway, you must listen to your show. And
see, that's the power of branding. If you have a local business and you want to be as thoroughly branded as Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, Munns Tom Twitter, then you need to be involved in this program. That's my gratuitous self-serving plug, Tom.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure if I should be honored or mortified. I mean, he treated me very well, so I'm gonna take it on the side of being honored by him knowing who I was and whatnot. So so it was good meeting him and his wife and all that kind of thing. But I was on my way out of the convention, real quick, I got to tell you this, and they have free speech zones at the U of I campus. And I'm adamantly opposed, and anybody should be. And I would urge anybody to contact their colleges. But I was driving over there, and I saw those, and I thought, I'm going to take those down. And so anyway, I was pulling up to the parking lot, getting ready to turn those down, and Attorney General Lawrence Watson was walking by. And I said, hey, Lawrence, I said, how you doing? He goes, hey, great, Tom. I said, did you see that over there? He shook his head, like, just in complete disgust, right? So I said, well, you're about to see Tom Munns in action. So he shakes his head, right? So he's with his little boy, and I thought he was going to the car.
I think you should have stuck to the Brad Little story. This one's really not going anywhere.
Oh, are you kidding me? He gave me a thumbs up.
Oh, okay.
You don't think that was a good deal?
It kind of went on there. You didn't really have the same vim and vigor.
Oh, maybe I'll say it like Alex Jones.
Hey, can you do an Alex Jones real quick?
No, I can't.
My throat is still throbbing. Anyway, I got to run. Thank you, Tom.
Hey, have a great one.
All right. Bye-bye. Remember, updates, TomMunns.com, Munns Tom Twitter, Tom Munns on Facebook. By the way, to all those people on the Facebook, I love this. Pat from Middleton, why is Alex Jones on the radio? What happened to that Kevin Miller dude? For our friend Rome, Kevin Miller, do some more Sam Kinison. That was awesome. Sam Kinison. You know, Rome, there's the story of my life. I'm trying to do Alex Jones and it's Sam Kinison. But yeah, who can forget Sam Kinison in Back to School as that English or that history teacher, right? Coming up next, we go live to the Middle East. Emily Wither will join us with the latest on Iraq, Syria, and our troops in country. And coming up next hour, Senators Crapo and Risch exclusively with us at 580 KIDO.
Weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
The meltdown that happened.
Both factions were fighting over control, really, of the convention. A lot of people were yelling at the delegates. They were yelling at Labrador. There was a lot of jeering. You had booing on one side. You had cheering and clapping on the other.
We've probably all been to family reunions that didn't end up like we had hoped.
The only vote that they were able to actually complete was on throwing people out.
And good morning. It's Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. Coming up next hour, Senator Mike Crapo, Senator Jim Risch, Idaho State GOP Chairman Barry the Man Peterson on what's next for the state GOP. Joining us now, a young lady that gets a lot of rave reviews every time we have her on and promoting her own self-interest and providing some depth and information on this program. We try and have her on as much as possible. Emily Wither joining us from Fox News Radio. Emily, good morning.
Hi, good morning. How are you today?
Not bad, but doing a lot better, I guess, than the latest in Iraq, which is the Shiites and the Sunnis. It's so 13 centuries ago.
Unfortunately, this conflict, Kevin, is becoming increasingly sectarian, and it's not surprising that this has happened, given, you know, Iraq's history and these sectarian tensions that exist. There's been a couple of signs over the last 24 hours that shows that sectarian nature. The first thing that happened was pro-government Shiite militiamen killed nearly four dozen detainees in a jail northeast of the capital, and these detainees were thought to be Sunnis. And then in another incident, and this is something we might see more of over the coming days, is in a Shiite neighborhood in Baghdad, the bodies of four men were found. And these men were thought to be Sunnis. They were found in different parts of this Shiite neighborhood, and they'd just been shot in the head. So unfortunately, it does look as if some of that sectarian killing that we saw back in 2008 is starting to rear its ugly head again. Elsewhere in the country, there continues to be a lot of fighting. The most important part of conflict that's happening at the moment, though, is about 155 miles north of the capital, Baghdad, where fighters from the Al-Qaeda-inspired Sunni militant group are attacking Baiji oil refinery. And the reason that's so important is because that refinery accounts for a little more than a quarter of the country's entire refining capacity. So it's the largest refinery. And if it was disrupted, it could hugely affect gas supply and electricity in a country that's already descending into chaos. So the militants certainly have their eye on that at the moment.
Right. And, of course, the worldwide implications, the cost of oil, the cost of doing business in Iraq will go up. And you think about the hope and promise where the U.S. left. You had global investment. Now it seems to be going kaplooey.
Iraq has the world's fifth largest known crude oil reserve. So, I mean, it could be a country that does incredibly well from its oil wealth. But unfortunately, the instability in the country tends to get in the way of that. Some of the major countries that are that are invested in Iraq's oil business have said that their operations haven't been too badly affected. But since that, there has been what appears to be some kind of kidnapping. And in the city of Kirkuk, which was captured by the Kurds earlier this week, that's an important oil city, there have been reports that these Sunni militants have kidnapped 60 foreign construction workers. Turkey say that 15 of those construction workers are possibly Turkish citizens, and India have now come out and said that they think around 40 of those construction workers might be Indian citizens. So if these types of kidnappings continue to happen in Iraq, it may be that some of these foreign companies get even more nervous and want to then pull out of the country. Now, this is a very common tactic of the Islamic militant group ISIS. They often take hostages and then they try and negotiate for cash rewards. This is one of the ways that they make their money.
How scary are they compared to the brutality of Al-Qaeda, Emily, that Al-Qaeda has kicked them out? That's unheard of.
They're worse, Kevin. I mean, they are so brutal that even Al-Qaeda, the leader, Ayman al-Zahiri, was like, I just don't know. I don't know if I want to be affiliated with you guys anymore. And they are actually condemned among other Islamic groups for just simply taking things a little bit too far. And, I mean, some of the videos that they've put online showing the atrocities that they've been carrying out are just, you know, not the kind of viewing that you want to seek out. I mean, in one of the videos, they knock on the door of a police chief and then they chop off his head with a knife in his bedroom. They cut it off. And then in another video that surfaced this week, these militants, it appears, just slaughtered 1,700 Iraqi soldiers, just massacred them. And, you know, this is a tactic of theirs that's meant to scare people and to make people down their weapons and run away. I mean, this is one of the tactics they're using to scare off the Iraqi security forces. So it's these brutal tactics that have even alienated them from groups such as Al-Qaeda.
Emily Weather joining us, Fox News Radio. Kevin Miller in the morning here. Emily, you as a journalist, obviously you study history. Could the Ottoman Empire really have had it right when we're talking about the future of Iraq?
Well, I mean, it's the way Iraq is looking at the moment, many experts are saying that the way that we've known it since 1920, it's probably just not possible it can ever be the same again, and that it's slowly going to be carved up. The borders will be redefined, and there will be major instability in the Middle East, possibly for the next decade. I mean, certainly the way things are going, Syria is unlikely to return to a United States again. That country is being carved up into different sections where you have Alawite strongholds, and then you have areas of Sunni activity, and then of course the Kurds as well in Syria have carved out a little safe haven for themselves near the Turkish border. And something very similar could be playing out in Iraq as well, with the Kurds to the north, again a semi-autonomous part of the country for them. They are very comfortable up there, it's safe for them up there, and they have made it quite clear in the past that they would like their own state. They might not want to be part of Iraq anymore when they look down at the chaos happening in Baghdad and elsewhere. And then maybe we might see Sunnis and Shiites separating in some way. It doesn't look likely at the moment that Nouri al-Maliki, the Shiite-led government, under the current conditions, will be able to recapture some of these towns and cities from these Sunni militia groups.
Hard to believe, Emily, hindsight in history being 2020, that if this situation could have been avoided, if Maliki had heeded the advice of the Western governments by bringing in the Sunnis, except instead of trying to slowly get rid of them from his government.
And that's what the problem really is, because the White House have made it quite clear that if they are going to take part in any military engagement in Iraq, it needs to be side by side with Nouri al-Maliki enacting political reforms and ending some of these sectarian tensions, because Nouri al-Maliki does hold a blame in this. He's used the Shiite numerical majority to then try and take control of the country, and the Sunnis just feel completely marginalized. And this is not new. I mean, this has been going on for a couple of years now. Those sectarian tensions have been on the rise. And in the last year, thousands have been killed in this sectarian violence between Sunnis and Shiites. And it's felt that Nouri al-Maliki has ignored the warning signs. He hasn't reached out to some of his enemies, and he hasn't tried to be more inclusive of the Sunnis, which is something that they've been demanding. I think another way that this possibly could have been avoided is also Syria. If Syria had been contained early on and it hadn't become the large-scale conflict that it is, and it's now spilling over the border into other countries, some of these Islamic militant groups just simply wouldn't have grown as powerful as they are now. They've found safe havens in some parts of Syria, and they've been able to regroup. They've been able to raise funds and recruit more fighters, and that's all thanks to the chaos in that country.
Emily Wither, is there anything we should be looking out for? The fall of Baghdad, or is that a ways off, if at all?
I don't think that Baghdad is going to fall. It's very well protected by the various Shiite militia groups, and the government troops who are protecting Baghdad are loyal to the government, it seems, so they will fight. It's not expected that they would abandon their posts, as we saw elsewhere in Iraq. So I think, for the most part, what to expect in the next couple of weeks is more fighting, the Iraqi government trying to take back some of these areas, and the Sunni militants trying to capture more towns and cities. And in the midst of all of this, we're going to see a lot more refugees. Over 500,000 in the last week have fled their homes. And if the fighting continues, it may be that we start to see higher numbers. And again, as I said before, some of those low-level sectarian killings might start to return again.
Emily, thank you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Take care. Emily Wither joining us, Fox News Radio. Kevin Miller in the morning, 7:48. Let's get you to work safely.
For Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And it looks like I've gotten someone to take to the arena of the ideas. We call Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Our friend Greg Pruitt of the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance will join us tomorrow morning to talk guns and a shocking discovery that he's will reveal to us coming up tomorrow, and he will defend World Cup soccer. That's right. So we already have one person that will be the diplomat when it comes to the World Cup soccer. Other news of the day here at 580KIDO. Coming up next hour, Senator Risch, Senator Crapo will join us, and our friend, the chairman of the Idaho Republican Party, Barry, I mean business, Peterson. Barry will talk about the latest controversy and whether or not he's going to still be the chairman. You have Channel 7 and everybody else speculating on what's the future of Barry. The Statesman, Popke on politics, trying to figure out the future of Barry. We'll find out with Barry coming up next hour. By the way, who would have ever thought that the president got beaten out for part in the next superhero movie? No, I'm not talking about the Avengers, but I am talking about the Justice League. And the Justice League features a character by the name of Aquaman. And Aquaman is king of the ocean. And who would have thought that President Obama is now Aquaman?
If we ignore these problems, if we drain our oceans of their resources, we won't just be squandering one of humanity's greatest treasures. We'll be cutting off one of the world's major sources of food and economic growth, including for the United States. And we cannot afford to let that happen.
You know, thank goodness that we have this man who does our thinking for us. Because I'm a dummy. You're apparently a dummy. That we can't think that the ocean is a finite resource. We have to have President Obama, who just arbitrarily decided to cut up a portion of the ocean and declare it like, what is it, a federal park or something like that? No salmon, no this, no that. Whatever you get in the ocean, it's going to be a refuge for the animals. Are they going to build some big gate around it so you can't jump in there?
Thanks to science-based reforms passed by Congress, we're ending overfishing off our coasts and seeing fish stocks restored throughout American waters. Earlier this month, my administration proposed the first ever national standards to limit the amount of carbon pollution that existing power plants can pump into the air.
Yes.
A major step that will help protect our children's health and the health of our oceans as well.
What happens if we pass all these restrictions, all these reforms, and everything else that limits our ability to compete globally? It's kind of like playing World Cup soccer with, what, six people instead of nine or however many are on a soccer team? I mean, that's what we're doing. Look, we all love the environment. That's why we live in Idaho. We all think that it's great that we protect the air and the ocean and everything else. But do the Chinese, the Indians, the Great Britons, the Ethiopians really care about the environment? I mean, it's funny when we pass emissions controls in Canyon County or wherever else in Idaho or across the country, because we wants the clean air. That's right, I said wants. It's a new verb. We wants the clean air. And the folks in Beijing, Tiananmen, and Botswana don't have the same high regard for workers' rights, for not only workers' rights, but for the environment. I mean, we are inhaling dirty, nasty, stinky Beijing air because they don't care a rip about the pollution. And who elected the president? Aquaman or the Submariner? I mean, really? The president now decides that he's going to protect the ocean? What if he decides to take over the state of Idaho? We'll talk about that coming up next hour with Senator Risch, Senator Crapo, and Barry the Buck Stops Here Peterson with a humbly rotund Kevin Miller. Quickly to traffic now. Thank you, Jim. Kevin Miller in the morning, 49 in Caldwell and wet. Coming up next, we talk issues of importance with our senators. Stay tuned.
Serving Meridian.